And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is all business. Each of my guests is discussing a business topic in his specialty. My next guest is the CEO of a consultancy that helps companies interact with their customers and manage their business in the online economy. We'll discuss who really determines the success of a business from his book, Users Not Customers. And if you want to join in the conversation or if you have a question, you can always call us at 639-0008. Aaron Shapiro is CEO of Huge, a digital consultancy that helps companies re-image how they interact with their customers and manage their business in the online economy. Aaron has spent more than a decade as a technology entrepreneur, a venture capitalist, and a management consultant. This includes being the founder and CEO of Silverpop Systems, which is a leading email service provider, and starting a national magazine, which is distributed by Time Warner. Aaron frequently writes for about the digital economy at aaronshapiro.com and for publications including the Huffington Post, Media Post, and Fast Company. He's the author of the book, Users Not Customers, Who Really Determines the Success of Your Business. Aaron was named one of Crain's 40 Under 40 for 2011. He received an MBA from Columbia University and his BA in economics from Harvard University. He lives in New York City with his wife and two children. Joining us from there, hi Aaron, how are you today?
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being our guest. We love to have thought leaders such as yourself on the show. So let's dive right into it. First, it was consumers that were most important. And then as we moved onto the internet, it became eyeballs that were most important. And now you say it's users. So define the difference between users and customers for my listeners.
Sure. So a user is anybody who interacts with a company through digital. So this can be somebody who goes to your website, but it could also be people who interact with you through social media, such as your Facebook or Twitter feed, or people who use your mobile application, really anyone who interacts with you digital. And what's interesting is that some of those users can be customers as well. For example, if I buy a book on Amazon, I'm using Amazon and I'm also a customer of Amazon. But many users might not be customers yet, but they could be in the future, or they might tell their friends and spread the word. So what we find is that for companies that are really focusing on users and on the user experience of how people interact with that company online, they're most likely to be successful in today's economy.
All right. So the users are the larger set, and then customers are a subset of the users.
That's right.
But why are users more important than customers? I mean, customers pay the way, don't they?
Absolutely. So customers definitely pay the way. But one way to think about users is that those are the people who are marketing and spreading the word about your product and brand. And users are often people who could be potentially partners, they could be employees. It's really everyone in the digital world. So what's interesting that's happening is that increasingly the first way in which all of us interact with a company is through digital. So if that interaction is not really good, then companies are going to have a problem forming a long-term relation with that person, whether it's an employee, partner, or a customer kind of context. And that's a lot of what we're seeing is what's really transformed the economy, really over the last few years, as digital has become such a centerpiece of how people interact with the world.
My guest is Aaron Shapiro. And Aaron, one of the things that I really remarked in your book was that we're coming up on an inflection point next year in 2012. And I'm not talking about the Mayan calendar, the end of the world, that kind of stuff. I'm really talking about an inflection point when it comes to business. What is that point? Because this really startled me.
Yeah, so it's a pretty incredible thing. So according to Forrester Research, starting next year, half of all commerce that's happening in our economy is because of digital. And those can be either things that are bought online right away, or it can be things where you research something first online and then you go to a store and buy it. So if you think about the implication of this, where half of everything that's happening in business starts with digital, that really has a big change on how companies have to do business, because it really means that there's no such thing as an offline business, and every company has to have a really strong digital strategy to be successful. Otherwise, they risk losing out on how literally half of all purchases that are happening in our economy.
So literally, your digital strategy becomes your business strategy at that point, Aaron.
Absolutely. And I would think about your own user behavior, as well as listeners in the audience, and think about how you use the internet. If you think about so many purchases that you make or companies you want to do business with, probably the first thing you do is check it out online. And if they don't have a good website or they didn't get good reviews through social media, you're probably not even going to bother contacting them or going to the store. So now imagine, fast forward, you know, that's happening a lot today, but fast forward a few years when that's really how everybody is doing business in this country, it's really a very, very different way of thinking about how to do business and how to be successful in this economy.
And it certainly has its implications for retailing as well. My guest is Aaron Shapiro. So, Aaron, help conceptualize this for us. What does a company look like when it becomes user-centric?
So the first thing starts with kind of an attitude, which is really having the mindset when you make business decision that there are these mass numbers of people out in the ether that are going to interact with you through the internet, and it's easy to think they don't exist because they may not ever call you or they may not go to your store, but they're there and they're making decisions and they're influencing other people. So it's really thinking about what are those people really want and making sure that everything you do in business is oriented towards servicing those users. Once you have an attitude change, then it's a lot about a whole series of tactical things around how you go about structuring your organization, your technology, even your product mix and marketing to really service users. And a lot of how the book is focused is really going in-depth with lots of case studies and examples of how to become a user-first company, looking at all aspects of how an organization is structured.
All right. Give us some examples of companies that are doing it well right now, Aaron.
Absolutely. So there are numerous examples, but just one that pops into mind is if you think about Chase Bank. The olden days, Chase was all about going to going to a bank and you deposit and so forth, or ATMs. Now, if you look at all of their advertising and their communications, the whole focus is on their mobile application, where you can now use your mobile device to deposit checks, or you can bump your phone with someone else if you want to split a check if you're at a store. So it's really about making the entire products that they have completely digitally oriented so people can interact with that business digitally instead of ever going to an actual retail environment. You also see this in marketing as well. If you look at, for example, Pepsi, a lot of their recent marketing work, for example, the current campaign they're doing called Sound Off around the X Factor, or previously they were doing this thing called the Pepsi Refresh Project. Both of those are marketing initiatives. It wasn't just blasting out banner ads. It was actually creating utilities and applications that people can use online that people would interact with. And in the course of interacting those things, they're marketing with Pepsi. So it's really a very different way of thinking about business because it's really about thinking about how do your users want to interact with your company online, and then what types of products and services can you as a company offer to help those users. And in doing so, those users will become customers, and they'll also spread the word and tell other people about how great your company is. So it's a very different kind of business mindset.
My guest is Aaron Shapiro, author of the book, Users Not Customers, What Really Determines the Success of Your Business. And in the book, Aaron, you develop something that you call the Digital Leadership Set to evaluate the Fortune 1000 companies that were successful in this new era. So first of all, describe for us, what is the Digital Leadership Set, and what are some of the companies that are on that list?
Sure. So in creating the book, it was important that there was a lot of strong research to really create a very good set of findings for what's the right formula for companies to be successful in the digital economy. And to do this, myself and my research team did a study called the Digital Leadership Set, where we evaluated the Fortune 1000 across about 70 different metrics, and we systematically analyzed what those companies were doing in digital, correctly or incorrectly, and therefore, and then looking at the leaders, and therefore what can we learn from those companies that are successful in terms of how the broader business community should be thinking about structuring their organization. And the results of those findings has heavily influenced a lot of the things that are in the book. So some of the companies there were really companies that were in the final set across a lot of different industries. These were companies like Target and Walmart in the retail space, things like Federal Express, technology companies like Google, American Express and Financial Services. So it was JetBlue, for example, for aviation. So there was a pretty broad collection of industry leaders that really were doing digital the right way.
And it was interesting because I need you to help me to reconcile something. On your list, you had both Ford and GM. Now, this is where I need the help reconciling this talk about being a user-centric company. How does this fit into the new model? Because cars today have got navigation systems built on board. They've got satellite radios, MP3 connections. Some of them even have hard drives, and they have computerized braking systems, fuel injection systems, a lot of computers on board these things.
Mm-hmm.
And a customer's satisfaction on a car today depends more on how they like their digital features than it does on how the car drives or even how the car looks. I mean, my wife has got a problem with her navigation system, doesn't recognize the city of Oxnard here in Ventura County. It's only the largest city in Ventura County, and it doesn't recognize a lot of the streets and locations there. And she's dissatisfied with her car, not because the car drives poorly, but because of the navigation system. So what is this saying about the new marketplace? I mean, what does this say particularly about users versus customers?
Absolutely. Yeah, so the example that you're giving with your wife is a perfect example of the new economy that we're in. We find the most innovative companies are creating products that combine digital and analog, the new world and the old world together, to create something brand new. And a car is a great example of that, like the car your wife drives. There's nothing more old school than a car, but now it's combined with all this new modern digital technology that creates this new experience that's very special and unique, that's only possible because of the Internet. So that's a fantastic example, and it's also a great example of the importance of users, because she is a user of that car because she's interacting with all this digital stuff. And because she's not happy with that experience, she's rejecting the entire thing. And a true user-first approach would be a company that's thinking first and foremost about the user experience within that car and making sure that your wife and everyone else driving a tech-heavy car just loves that experience and has as great an experience driving that car with all the digital gadgets as they would going on Google or Facebook or anything else. There's a really great little test that I like to give my clients, which is I have them go to their favorite websites, Google or Facebook or Netflix or whatever site they love. And then I say, okay, now go over to the digital properties that are produced by your company. It could be your website or Twitter feed or, in the case of cars, the digital technology in the car. If you don't love that stuff as much as you love Google and Amazon and so forth, then your business has a real problem, because that means that your customers aren't going to be as satisfied with your experience. And someday a competitor can come along and create a better digital experience and risk putting you out of business.
All right. My guest is Aaron Shapiro. Aaron, let's take this example one step farther, by the way, if we can. Let's take Ford's Sync as an example. Mm-hmm. Now, Sync is not something that's made by Ford. It's made by Microsoft. So if there's a glitch in the security of Sync, or if there's some sort of a hiccup in the software itself, what happens if Sync goes the way of Microsoft's Zune and they just decide that they're not going to support it anymore? How does that affect Ford and Ford's reputation by backing so much, riding so much on the back of Microsoft?
Absolutely. You're alluding to a really good point, which is, in the end, the customer and the user doesn't know that it's Microsoft, right? They blame Ford because it's a Ford car. And what this really means is that every single company that exists, no matter how big or small, has to think of themselves as a technology company. And they have to take responsibility for the technology and the digital services that they're providing to their users. And that's a big risk that Ford is taking, because they don't truly own that experience. That exposes them to a lot of risk. So I would say that over time, I don't know anything about Ford firsthand, but I'm guessing that it's inevitably Ford will have to take more and more control over the technology in its car, just to make sure that it's a great Ford-centric experience that's reflective of its brand.
All right, Aaron, that's the negative side of what goes wrong with Sync. Now let's look at the more positive side. If Sync captures all of this data, my favorite radio stations, the songs that I like on my MP3 player, all of my favorite destinations, all of that information's in Sync, does that not lock me into Ford for the future? It makes it very hard for me to transport that data over to a General Motors or a Toyota car because I'm locked into Sync. Doesn't that give you sort of not planned obsolescence, but the opposite of that? It locks you into Ford products, at least in the short-term future.
It certainly does lock you in on a short-term basis, and that's actually one reason why, from a business standpoint, companies creating digital services are creating a very, very powerful tool to create long-term user engagement and a long-term business model. The example that you have there is no different than people buying lots of apps on their iPhone, and now all of a sudden if they want to switch to an Android, they lose all of their apps. Same thing for buying books on Kindle, and then they wake up one day and decide they want a Nook. So that's a very, very significant issue. Today, though, that's really a competitive advantage for companies and one of the major benefits of those companies that are being very aggressive in creating digital services for their users.
My guest is Aaron Shapiro, author of the book Users Not Customers. Aaron, why is it more urgent that today that to have companies undergo what you call a digital transformation?
Perhaps the most important reason why it's so urgent is if you look at the younger generation of consumers. What's pretty amazing is if you talk to anyone who's in college today or see how people roughly that age are using digital, it's a fundamentally different way than people who are in their 30s or older. And the difference is that they're what I call post-digitals, which is that they're a generation that never remembers a time before the Internet. We did a focus group of some of these folks a few months ago, and we asked them, how often do you go online? And they all looked at us really, really strangely. And the reason was because they didn't even understand what the meaning of online meant, because they're always online. They're always continuously connected to the Internet. And that's through social, it's through mobile devices. You know, they're just continually online interacting and being social.
Wow.
So what's interesting is that fast forward 5 years, those people are going to be mainstream consumers. They're going to be the primary, they're going to be starting new homes, buying new cars, having young kids. They're going to be the drivers of our consumer economy. And in the business world, they're going to be starting to make real business decisions. So if companies aren't ready for this generation and how they interact, then they're really going to be caught flat-footed. And that 50% number we talked about earlier, influenced by digital, is going to be, you know, that ticks up every few percentage points, that ticks up every year. Fast forward 5 years, that could be 70-80%.
Wow, a staggering number. My guest is Aaron Shapiro, author of the book Users Not Customers. Aaron, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Users Not Customers?
I think probably the number one thing to really fully internalize is that everybody knows digital is big, but I don't think a lot of companies appreciate how big the magnitude of change that's coming and how important it is for companies to think of themselves as a digital business, no matter who they are. And those companies that really think of them first and foremost as a digital company are those that are best positioned to succeed in the future.
Well, it's a valuable lesson, and I thank you for putting it into your book. My guest has been Aaron Shapiro, author of the book Users Not Consumers, What Really Determines the Success of Your Business. Aaron, if people are intrigued by what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
The best place to go would be the website, the website for the book, which is usersnotcustomers.com, or you can go to my personal blog, which is aaronshapiro.com. And for those of you interested in buying the book, it's available on Amazon or any of the other online bookstores, as well as bookstores like Barnes & Noble and so forth.
And even our own Bank of Books here in Ventura, an independent bookstore. Aaron, thank you so much for being our special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Great. Thanks for having me.